we remember those words of Jesus. Truly, I tell you, no, sorry, not this bit, I'll be repeating it later. Truly, truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see and hear the things that you do now. Jesus is reminding us that so many of the prophets believed and understood that in time God would be sending the Messiah, his son. And yet they could only have a veiled understanding of how or when that would manifest. And in verse 1, before we look at verse 1, let's just look at, can I show you this little message? If you can see this on the screen. I don't know if you can see it. If you can read that, it says, at the risk of embarrassing me, it says, anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. And in the simple words of a child, we see that there is a difference between fathering a child and having a special and loving relationship with them. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel that that is reflected in my walk with God. I'm sure we've all experienced those times when we know who God is in all his righteous and splendorous ways. And yet because of our lack and because of our void of devotion to him and with him, we're left feeling empty and maybe worse, feeling convicted or condemned. And that makes us distant and feel detracted and separated from his love. And in verse 1, we read those words, that which was from the beginning. Again, we're hearing, we've been taken back to creation this morning. We're hearing the echoes of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're hearing the echoes of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's reminding us that the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always existed in an unbroken state of love and communion. God was preparing the way for his coming Son. And of course, there is much preparation, isn't there, involved for an expected newborn. Those of us who are parents, we remember buying all those baby things, maybe painting the room pink or blue, depending whether you choose to know the gender of the child. And so too, God was preparing the way for his coming Son. And we read about that all the way through the scriptures, whether we're reading the Bible historically, poetically, prophetically, we read about the way being prepared for the coming Messiah. And then, as God was preparing the way through his Son, as he began his earthly ministry, we see that preparation continuing through the words of John the Baptist. Prepare the way for the Lord. And of course, he desires us to prepare a place in our heart for him. And I believe that that place is more than just knowing and accepting him as Saviour. Remember, we sing those wonderful songs, let every heart prepare him room. Or perhaps, have you room in your heart for God to write his story? And then the Son of God arrives in the lowliest of manners. And some 30 or so years later begins his earthly ministry. And John recalls some of the time that he and his friends and his brothers spent in Jesus' company. In verse 2, the light appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John recalls watching Jesus. He remembers listening to the Son of God preach and teach in a way with such authority that went way beyond mere knowledge and information. Because Jesus, of course, was preaching with the wisdom of God himself, who knows every innermost and intimate part of his earthly children. John is remembering that closeness. He's remembering that contact with the Son of God. And all these elements, as Ali mentioned earlier about fellowship, of being together, all these elements of being with someone, befriending them, learning and growing closer to them, are so much of what it means to be human. And we have missed that, haven't we, over these last months? We've all missed that and felt that loss and lack through the lockdown. And in many ways, Jesus was the same. He loved and he enjoyed the care and devotion from earthly parents. And he was blessed with friends who both loved him, as well as being confused by him. But Jesus gives us a different pattern of how to channel our devotions heavenward. And I know that not everybody listening is a parent, and we realize that not everyone has had a peaceful or pleasant upbringing. However, when we look and consider at things generally, we see the nature and the traits of our parents shaping much of the character of the child. Do you ever catch yourself thinking, that is just like my mother? Or that's exactly what my father would have said or done. Often when Katie was living with us at home, the phone would ring and she'd pick it up and begin speaking to the person on the other end. And the other person would carry on the conversation as if she was talking to Gwenda, because that's who she thought that she was talking to, because Katie sounds so much like her mum. Gwenda's been watching some of the Adiladi DVDs of late, some of the discs that the ladies have been going through recently. And on one of those, there's a lady preacher who's recalling some funny events about her brother. And her brother says the same name as his father. And he also happens to sound exactly like him. And in a tongue-in-cheek way, she's telling of how her brother sometimes exploits and gains from this likeness, because his father is a man of great respect and often benefits from many of those privileges, and which in a shrewd way, her brother often uses this to his own advantage and to his own gain. However, she ends the story by saying, but he never fools me, because I know his voice. I know who he is because I have grown up with him and because I spend so much time in his presence. And even at the tender age of 12, when Jesus is found by his distraught parents who scold him for going amiss for a few days, they receive the reply which I believe would herald so much of the way that Jesus would grow to talk and reply and respond. Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? And again, in verse 2, John writes, this life who appeared to us, and we're going to be witnesses of that fact, of that appearance, this life was with the Father. And so often we hear Jesus speaking with this love, respect, and devotion towards his Heavenly Father. And often when I read John's words, I see in him a man who has not only grown close to God in an amazing way through his life, but a man whose words seem to resonate with the heartbeat from the very Godhead itself. And what I'm saying, really saying, is that in John's words, we see a man who has grown to be more like Jesus. And this shouldn't surprise us. So much biblical teaching is about putting on the new self, being ambassadors for Christ, or throwing off that sin that so easily entangles and fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And of course, part of taking hold of the prize of eternally being with the Son of God is to be growing more and more like him on the journey's way. Remember, as Jesus said, and Ali quoted it earlier, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. Jesus teaching us, in many ways that is reflected in human terms, Jesus is teaching us the nature of the Father and the Son are one. And I remember a message that Andrew Hinton gave a while back, and he put a challenge out to the older members of the congregation, not necessarily old in the sense of age, but aged in spiritual years. And his point was simple and yet profound. Those of us who have been Christians longer should be more and more like Jesus as we continue our walk with him. Those of us who have been Christians longer should be becoming more and more like Jesus. And let's be both excited and challenged with words like these, to know that as we walk with God, we can become more like him. But then just when we begin to look at our own default selves and think, this is too lofty or high a possibility, John reminds us of the fact that this is not only a possibility, but it's actually an invitation from God himself. As we read verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I mentioned at the beginning of the message that we can all feel distanced from God, and that over time this can lead to feelings such as condemnation or forgetting really whose we are. And if I find myself in this place, I look to my relationship with my children, Katie and Mia, and also consider their responses and their devotion to me. And this always brings me back to the simple truth that although it's not God's best or desire for us to become dry, cold, or spiritually low, but that God is always there and waiting for you to return. Not only is he ready to welcome, comfort, and protect you, but we need to remember this simple truth, that God takes great pleasure in your words of affection for him. God takes great pleasure in your words of affection for him, as parents do from their children, parents who are there to comfort and protect their children. I remember I must have been about 8 at the time. We were living abroad, and I went through a really silly, immature age of thinking it was clever to hurl insults at another lad who was both older and much bigger than me. And I thought that as long as I could outrun him, that I'd be fine. However, one day my luck ran out and he caught up with me, and I got a fine beating for my folly. And of course, neither party was right in that respect. However, when my dad returned from work that day and my mum told him what had happened, he put me in the car and we drove round the block to where that boy and his family lived. And he left me in the car as he walked up to the door and I saw him go in. and some 5 or 10 minutes later, when he returned, he got into the car and said absolutely nothing. And I'll never know what happened or what was said in that meeting. But all I can tell you is that from that day onwards, that other boy was only ever extremely pleasant and friendly towards me. The caring, protecting arms of a loving father. John, in his letter, pulls the reader back into that place of invitation, writing, come, come and have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with God the Father and God the Son. John is so confident of God's love for him and for his love for humanity that he's writing, come and join in. Indeed, he continues to say in verse 5 that if we understand, if we accept, and if we embrace this invitation, then his joy will be complete. We write this to make our joy complete. And the Bible does not teach this, and I may be wrong, but I believe that we see this invitation from John to others demonstrated many years before as a younger man, probably as the youngest of Jesus' closest of followers. Remember, in his hours of great angst, as he prepared for what lay before him at Calvary, Jesus shared a final meal with his friends. And at that meal, of course, the young John was present. And as the Lord spoke to them about his coming betrayal, John not only dared ask him, who will betray you? But he knew complete freedom in Christ to lie close and on the Son of God in his final hours. And not only this, but John in his gospel recounts the events and refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I believe that that phrase is used some 6 times in John's gospel. And however, using that phrase even once would be enough for us to be excused for thinking, well, my goodness, John, that sounds very confident. That sounds very self-assured. That's great for you to say. But what about the other disciples? What about everyone else? What about me? And I believe, at least in part, that what we see of John's closeness to Jesus and those words, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is as a witness of God's accepting our closeness and also as an invitation for us, for you and me, for whoever, to draw and press closer to him into that. And I believe that one very important aspect of what John does and what he says is as a call out to every coming generation saying, I love Jesus. He accepts me and he loves me. And I am a witness of this truth and union that he wants to share with you. And in some words from Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, come and know me better, man. And if this viewpoint is not complete truth and maybe lost somewhere, I know that the Lord will be gracious and patient as he always is. But what we can hold on to is the absolute truth of John the Elder inviting you into that relationship in today's reading. We tell you all this so that you also may have fellowship with us, with the Father and the Son. And of course, John is writing in the power of the Holy Spirit so that our joy may be completed. So as I close today, let's remember and thank the Son of God, promised from the beginning of time to arrive in God's perfect timing, in God's perfect way, who demonstrated his unending love and fellowship with his Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, and who calls and invites all into that union. And it's a union of the purest light, in whom the giver of that light has no darkness at all. And I doubt that whether any of us here this morning can get anywhere near to understanding or explaining the love that is shared between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. However, there is a great love which I find even more amazing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Praise Jesus, the Son of God. Amen.